Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning and to know that others of you are following through our live stream. Danny is in Kerrville this morning, beginning a meeting there, so I'm taking this time to address a couple of lessons that I've been wanting to consider for a while. Thank you very much for being here, especially those of you who are visiting, and I pray that our time together is profitable and uplifting for each one of us. Earlier this morning, we discussed the various types of work that we find in the Bible. In particular, we looked first at general everyday work, what any adult does to earn a living. It is mentioned, for example, in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 through 12. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Again, our daily life, our daily livelihoods, that type of work. Second is our daily responsibilities as a Christian, those things that we do because we follow Christ. We find these mentioned in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. Third, we find miracles as works. That's not something I can do, but which apostles and others did as the church was first established. We read about these works performed by Christ in John 5, verse 36. But the testimony I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. And fourth, the works of the law of Moses, as we see in Romans 3:20. By the works of the law, none of mankind will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes knowledge of sin. Fifth, the Godhead working in me toward my salvation. We see that in Philippians 2, verse 13. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work, for his good pleasure. Sixth, and somewhat similar, we find reference to the Godhead working through me to help others, where Paul says, I planned, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And finally, for this morning's list, we find that faith and belief can be considered works in passages such as John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Even our faith, even our belief, is in a very real sense a work that we should do. For this second lesson, I want to focus on one or two of these meanings of work that we find in the Bible and consider how work in the Bible interacts with grace, faith, and salvation. Let's begin with grace. Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. In particular, it is seen in the salvation of sinners, of which I am one. It is stating the obvious to say that salvation is only possible because of God's grace. Peter in Acts 15:11 says, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. With God's grace, we can find salvation. Without God's grace, we are hopelessly lost. Here are a few other passages that say the same thing. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In Romans 3, 23 and 24, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1, in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of his grace. But who receives it? Who receives God's grace? Is it everyone in the world or just a few? Do all receive salvation? In Romans 3:22, we read that it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. In Galatians 3, verse 26, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. It's clear that God's grace is available to the entire world. It is just as clear that only those who have faith in Christ Jesus, that he is the Son of God and that he sacrificed himself to cleanse us of our sins, only those who have that faith in Christ Jesus receive grace. God wants everyone to have it, but he won't force it on you. God tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Works in a context like this generally refer to following the law of Moses. But this time it seems to be more general. You won't be saved, it seems. You won't be saved by checking off works on the daily checklist, regardless of whether the list is from the law of Moses or any other set of laws. You are saved by God's grace, that salvation being made possible by Christ's sacrifice and through your faith. In Romans 3, in the second half of verse 25 and verse 26, in God's merciful restraint, he let the sins previously committed go unpunished for the demonstration of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I have a couple of notes to help us in the next few verses. Faith and belief are different words, but you can't have one without the other. I have faith in something I believe. I believe whatever I have faith in. So if God requires my faith, he requires that I believe. All this to say that if I have faith in Jesus, then I believe in him. And if I have belief in Jesus, I have faith in him. And just as we found seven meanings, at least, for the word work, there are at least a couple of meanings of belief or faith. James describes both in his second chapter. In James 2, verses 21 and 22, was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Abraham's faith working with his works was perfected. On the other hand, still in the same chapter, James says in verse 19, the demons also believe and shudder. Demons are certainly not working with God. They shudder because they believe and are scared to death of their future. Abraham's faith is very different from the demons' faith. Meanwhile, I don't want to lose track of this important point, so let me repeat what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God's gift of grace is available to all, but only if you have faith that he will keep his promise and give you salvation. It's been suggested that a Christian's work score determines whether he receives God's grace and the salvation that he offers to his children. Some people, very sincere people live their lives that way and keep a mental scoreboard to make sure that they do more good things than bad things. Got to have more pluses than minuses. That is not what the Bible says. God doesn't need me to keep a positive score so that I qualify for heaven. In fact, it's presumptuous to say that God needs help to decide who receives his grace. That's telling God what he can or can't do, and I don't want to go there. However, it is just as presumptuous to say that God can't make a choice, a decision about my salvation based on my faith. In fact, the scriptures frequently tell us that is exactly what he does. Whether God gives his gift of grace is affected by a person's faith. The passage we just read in Ephesians 2:8 says that by grace you have been saved through faith. And Romans 3:26 says that he will be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In Titus 3, verses 4 and 5, it's important to note that even our works done in righteousness is not the thing that saves us. It says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, and that seems to include my daily responsibilities, not a system of scorecards, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We've discussed how God's gift of grace results in salvation, and that God requires your faith, that is Abraham's type of faith, not the demon's faith. We've seen that keeping score of your good works and sins, wins and losses, pluses and minuses, is a path that leads to destruction, not salvation. Even our works done in righteousness won't save us. So do works play any role in grace, faith, and salvation? In Romans 4, verses 2 through 5, Paul says that trying to work to earn salvation takes you away from God. You need faith, not works. Meanwhile, James in chapter 2, verse 21 through 24, says that Abraham was also justified by his works and not only by his faith. As we said earlier this morning, there seems to be a contradiction here that we need to resolve. In Romans, Paul contrasts faith and works. You must choose one path or the other. Which type of works is he talking about? This doesn't seem to be general everyday works, or miracles, or the work of faith. In fact, that doesn't even make sense to contrast faith with faith. Choose one. These are the things Abraham and I could do, so these works aren't the Godhead working in me or through me. Of the seven meanings of work that we explored, that leaves our regular responsibilities as a Christian and the works of the law of Moses. Does it sound like Paul's works, the works Paul refers to, are being used to keep score? If not that, then something close. This person who works for a spiritual wage is definitely keeping track of his hours. As with Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says, you have been saved, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. This seems to be talking about a sort of checklist or scorecard, this time applied to the law of Christ rather than the law of Moses. I believe that the works Paul is discussing are listed in a figurative scorecard or a time card prepared to be cashed in on Judgment Day. As Paul said, this person may have something to boast about, but it doesn't have anything to do with God. Those are not the works that James describes. He says that faith was working with Abraham's works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. In this case, his faith is working together with his works, with the goal of improving his faith. This sounds like our daily responsibilities as a Christian. If that's the case, if the works Paul is talking about are a checklist of the law of Moses or even the law of Christ, and the works James is talking about are our daily responsibilities that come from being a Christian, then there is no contradiction or conflict. Paul is talking about one type of works, while James is talking about another type of works. What are the works that James is talking about? In James 2, verses 15 through 17, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, to be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? In the same way, faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. He goes on to say in verse 18, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. He also gives us a very clear statement about works in the final verse of the previous chapter in James 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. In fact, note here, to keep oneself unstained by the world, avoiding sin is a work. It's not just things we do, it's things we avoid doing. In Matthew 25, verses 34 through 36, Christ describes the final judgment. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Those are all good works. And here are a few more. In John 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Matthew 5, 16, your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's good to be seen as a good example, as long as you're not showing off or exalting yourself. Your light must shine. In Philippians 2, verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, Paul includes your work of faith, but also your labor of love and perseverance of hope. And in 1 John 3, verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. We are all continually given the opportunity to perform works each day of our life, and each work, bit by bit, makes you a stronger child of God. Knowing that God wants you to perform works, why would you ever turn away from them? I'd like to look at one more passage before we stop for the day, one of the most well-known passages about grace, faith, salvation, and works. In John 3, verse 16 through 21, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. Summing up this passage and our entire lesson, we read, for God so loved the world. God has love and grace for everyone in the world. We read that he loved the world so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God gives this grace, this salvation, to everyone who actively believes in him. That's Abraham again, Abraham's type of faith, not the demon's faith. We read that the one who believes in him is not judged, but the one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. God judges and condemns anyone who rejects his freely offered grace. And sadly, many do reject his gift. And then, the one who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. Anyone who practices truth, anyone who works the works of God, comes to God's light and is saved through God's grace. And with that, I'll turn the lesson over to you. What will you do with God's gift of grace and salvation? Do you believe that Christ is God's Son and that he offered his body up as a sacrifice for our sins? Or will you respond like the demons in James 2 and the people of Jericho in Joshua 2, everyone except Rahab, who believed and shuddered in fear, unwilling to commit to God and his gift? What will you do? If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand.